Good morning, Emmanuel.
Good morning.
I would like to welcome you all to this morning's service at Emmanuel and Highways Church, which is part of the Swindon Old Town Partnership of Churches. I would also like to welcome all visitors who are amongst us this morning. Please make yourselves known to me or to the stewards. Our minister, Reverend Robert Jordan, will be leading this service this morning, and welcome back, Robert. Greeting to those listening through recording. I hope you feel part of Emmanuel. The Bible reader this morning is Shelley Morgan, and the reading will be taken from the New Testament, Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. Most of the notices can be found in the weekly news, but I have one additional from Liz Glead. Could we please give her back these brochures which we've got by Sunday next week, with or without orders? She wants them back. I'll now light the Christ and Peace candle as we remain in silent in preparation for the service.
Good morning, Emmanuel. I feel like a newcomer in a way. I got all nervous this morning after I woke up. I'm going back. I know you haven't forgotten me, but sometimes it's how you remember me that is more important. So thank you. And it's exciting to be here again. For the first few Sundays, I'll be using this instead of the pulpit. It avoids unnecessary going up and down steps and slipping, of course. The psalm for today is Psalm 51, with words that we recognize. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me in a willing spirit. particularly that last sentence for today. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain in me a willing spirit. Please remember those words as we progress in the service today. Our first hymn today is from Sing Praise, and it's hymn 113, Lord of all your love's creation. What I really enjoyed last Sunday when I came to worship but sat in the congregation is that I had no mic, as I have when I'm a minister leading worship, and I sang as loud as I wanted to sing, and none of you would have heard me, and it was not being recorded. You can't imagine the freedom that felt at that moment, which I am very conscious that you don't want to hear me singing too loud or at all. I'm not a good singer, and that's putting it very mildly, but if I say so, it avoids you having to tell me about that. And what follows, we are going to have a word of prayer. But I promised myself I would tell you this, the first service I came back. In one of the consultations I had pre-surgery, all the conversations began with, what do you do? What's your lifestyle? They just wanted to know to make sure how the recovery would be. So they all knew I was a minister. And one of the surgeons I spoke to, not the chap that operated on me, he said, oh, we will do the incision on the side instead of on your actual knee. That didn't happen. And he said to me, because you use your knees a lot. And I said, what do you mean? Well, you must kneel in prayer all day long. And I looked at him. He wasn't being dead serious, so that helped. And I said, no, in the church where I'm minister, we can sit and pray, which is what I'm going to do in a few minutes. He looked at me, and then he asked me my habits, and one of them is how much I drank, alcohol I drank. I said, I'm basically a social drinker. I don't have four whiskeys a night or anything like that. Okay, but once a week you drink. I said, what? No. He said, communion. I didn't go in that we don't celebrate communion every week, but I said, no, the church where I minister, we use non-alcoholic wine and gluten-free bread. His face dropped, and he was serious this time, and his only comment was, what a woke church you are minister to. So even when I was in for surgery, the church and the congregation of which I am minister to came in. So it was very interesting. We will now join in words of prayer, and we will end the saying the Lord's Prayer all together. And for this, I will sit. Let us pray. Dear God, we come. We are here. With who we are and what we are. With the best of our intentions. But also, sometimes with the weight of not having done what we hoped we could do. We are a contradiction, often. But whatever happens, you love us. And that sometimes is something we don't find easy to deal with. You love us. With our brokenness, with our failings, and in your love and through your love, you are guiding us to be better. And we don't want to ever take that for granted. Be with us and give us that time to realize how you being with us can be life-changing. We give you thanks for those things that we take for granted, for those that we forget are happening, for the times we don't see what is around us as a miracle. We're used to them. It happens every day. But they are life-changing so often. In the midst of a world as it is, something that will make people smile. With the world as it is today, a word or a gesture which will remind people they aren't alone. It's life-changing. We carry it with us as a possibility. But also we realize when this happens to us. So we thank you that through your love, you continue to find a sense of fullness in what we would call brokenness. We thank you for all that reminds us of the simple things of life that are there, that we just simply have to recognize that we can be part of. We thank you for the lives of those people who make a difference in our lives. Simply by being there. In our world of today, in technology, a WhatsApp, an email, sometimes a letter, and sometimes the postman delivers a card which has been written with 10 words. And it says more than 100 or 1,000 words. Thank you that in your love there is new possibilities. Thank you that you are God. And we don't always understand your will. But that doesn't change things for you. You insist, you keep close to us. You open doors and windows, and in our darkness, the light shines. Thank you for not making us only ourselves, but part of your family, that we can belong to a community and grow together. Sometimes we get on other people's nerves, sometimes they get on our nerves. It's true. But we learn and become better people. But becoming better people means that we also have to learn how to correct our mistakes, change our ways, seek for forgiveness, and be forgiving for words that have caused hurt and pain, for gestures that we can't explain, but have closed doors. For words that we could have said, and yet we remain silent. Forgive us when we take your name in vain, or when we don't even think of you. And in your grace, and in the peace we find in that grace, as we are made new day after day, that through that forgiveness we may grow in the talents you have given us and be the better people we can be. Through the values of the kingdom we pray for, in following Jesus who taught us what life was all about. And when the disciples needed to deepen their relationship, they asked him, "Teach us how to pray." And the first words he taught them reminded them that they were a family as we are. So we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The choir will now sing the anthem. And listen carefully, because the words, you've heard them before. But as we are living, the times we are living, they mean a lot. And because of this anthem, I chose the stole I'm using today. The anthem is, "Pray that Jerusalem may have peace." And what you will see embroidered on my stole is what is known as the Jerusalem cross, and was made in Jerusalem. The choir will now lead us in the anthem.
Thank you. This morning's reading is taken from Luke chapter 15, which will be found on page 75 of the New Testament in the Pew Bibles. This is verses 1 to 10. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Shirley. We join together in singing once again, this time from Rejoice and Sing. It's hymn 371, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee."
Thank you.
When we hear your word, give us insight to discover what you are saying and how what you are saying will make us wiser, more loving, and renew our lives and that of the world. Amen. In the weekly news today, you'll see the photograph of the pectoral cross that Pope Francis used and he was buried with. It's the cross in quite an unusual shape with the Good Shepherd carrying that found sheep. I prefer to say it's the found sheep rather than the lost sheep, and that'll, I hope, be evident in what I'm saying. Today, I want us to explore foolishness in some of its dimensions and hope that we can discover that it's not as bad as it sounds and that a certain degree of foolishness is good and even necessary. I'm giving it away by saying if lots of what I see in the world today is wisdom, then definitely I want to be on the foolish side of things. And in the passage of Luke 15, there's quite a bit of foolishness. The stories are so well known that we may overlook that fact. But take a moment and delve into what's going on, and foolishness is clear. The logic of these verses makes no sense whatsoever, or at least in the world as it is run today. Why do we stop everything for one when there are many? It's not practical, it's a waste of time, and it's a waste of money. We don't do that. We still have 99. One is one. It's dispensable with. Well, that's what we're told. You have 10 silver coins. It'll appear sooner or later, or not. But you still have 9. And there'll be more where those came from. To take all that time in unproductiveness can be described as foolishness or not. The chapter 15 of Luke dismantles the understanding of what is normal, logical, and makes sense. The first clue in verse 1, tax collectors and sinners. And in that word sinners, wow, there's a wide range of possibilities of what a sinner is. And if we go deep into it, we may find that we fit into that category or not. So that's the first clue. They gather around to hear Jesus. But we all know, don't we, that such people are beyond redemption. You don't waste time on them. Wait for verse 2. So isn't it foolishness for them to gather round Jesus listening, knowing that in the established ways, he will have to cast them away? Tax collectors and sinners. Most of the tax collectors were Gentiles. That's not what the kingdom's about. Sinners, that's not what the kingdom is about. Then we have the Pharisees, verse 2. Pharisees and teachers grumbling. Thank goodness they don't belong to the church. Nothing ever is grumbling in the church. We know that. But they aren't. They are grumblers. And why are they grumbling? Because this teacher welcomes those people that aren't them into that circle. And they know that is foolishness. These grumbling Pharisees, what are they grumbling about? Look at the people he's mixing up with. The next thing we know, he'll be mixing with prostitutes. He will be talking to women. He will be curing the people that have no money to pay for health. If everybody did that, what would this world become? He's opening the door and leading them to believe that there is room for them. But those aren't the folk we want in our group, is it? That's what we've been working for. It's them. They're on the other side of the door. And the sooner Jesus realizes that what he is doing and saying is giving them false hope, the better. And then, if you picked it up, I knew what I was looking for, but in the first hymn we sang from Sing Praise, you can go to it afterwards, or if you get bored listening to me now, it's hymn 113, verse 3, and it's the one that talks about the table being set, and it talks about Jesus' foolish wisdom. So it's not only me. I may be in good company. Sinners, tax collectors, and Pharisees that are grumbling because their presence makes the meal unclean. And for the people concerned, ritual cleanliness was crucial. So the unclean are annoying. We're going to celebrate communion in a few moments. And that table is set not because we are worthy, but because we are loved. I grew up, as you all know, in the Church of Scotland, and we had a minister once who came from, his previous minister in Scotland was from the very strict islands. And we only had communion about every 3 months. And that was the time that the elders visited the people on their list and handed them a card, which technically meant they'd sat with the family, analyzed their life and their behavior, and deemed them worthy of sitting at the table. And you had the card, and on Sunday, Communion Sunday, you took that card. God forbid you forgot it. Lots of people did. It wasn't as strict as that. That's what the islands. In Tempele, in Argentina, it didn't ring that strict. You had to be worthy to sit at the table, or else you couldn't. And you know, not many of our Scottish members are here today, are they? Yes, one of them sitting there in the choir. But lots of people in these churches were never confirmed until they were absolute adults. And by that, I mean, I don't mean 18, I mean 70, 65, 70, 80, because at that stage, they felt it was less easy to become a sinner. But if they were confirmed at 17, 16, 20, it meant that life had to be worthy. There was no room for going astray. And it was very tough. Things have changed, but that was the way people believed and acted. And this is what the Pharisees are saying here. Then Jesus tells three stories of which we've heard two. The sheep that is found and the coin that is found. You know, the third one is the son that returns. And listening to what Jesus says, we have to ask ourselves, who is the foolish in these stories? Is it the sinners who believe there might be an open door for them? And that's what Jesus is talking. Is it Jesus who is foolish enough to suggest that they aren't excluded in a world that says there's definitely no room for you? Is it the Pharisees who believe that they are so worthy they can't mingle with people like them? What is it all about? These stories turn the world's priorities upside down. And you know why? Because these stories are stories of the kingdom, where Jesus explains to us that God's will looks like foolishness to the world. It makes no sense to the values of the world. And if that was so 2,000 years ago, it continues to be so as the world is today. The important question is, where do we stand on these issues? Do we want to be included as part of the fools that believe that even for us there is an open door, over those that believe that once we're on the other side of it, close the door quickly before somebody who is not worthy gets in? I want to share with you a very interesting perspective from a Cuban U.S. of A theologian, Dr. Justo González. And he says, these parables are less for the lost than for those who were never lost. Those who foolishly think they have no need for the heavenly physician. These parables are less for the lost than those who were never lost. He's recognizing that we all have the possibility of having messed things up at some time, but believe in hope that the table is set and we're invited to be part of it. And for that, in our church, that's absolutely crucial. As Jesus said in Luke chapter 5, it's not the healthy who need a doctor. It's those who are sick who need a doctor. He is the heavenly physician. He's the one that is opening the door. He says himself in the Gospel of John, I am the door from which you come in and go out. And he also says, there are many more in the flock than those who are here already. And this continues to be true today. We live in a world divided. And I don't know about you, but these last 8 weeks that I've been off, I've seen things that I'd never imagined I'd be seeing to the intensity I have seen them. The justification of hatred, the justification of me, yes, you know, the justification of excluding, of death, of hunger. It's terrible. The ones like us and the ones that aren't like us. Those who are convinced and know they are right, and those who aren't too sure. Jesus comes to turn everything upside down. In the words of Justo González, he is particularly here for those who know they are lost. And those who were never lost don't understand him, because they won't let God's love heal. Foolishness is to believe, really, that we don't need help, that we're good enough as it is, that we are always right, and as such, don't need repentance. Twice in the reading today, you will hear words of joy, of that which has been found, be it the sheep that went astray or the coin. And with that joy, the kingdom is proclaimed. Taking time to look for the one brings joy. And it changes dramatically, as most readers would say, when we become that one. Because we can be that one. But with that joy, there's also sadness for those that believe they don't need healing, don't need finding, or don't need forgiveness. The grace of God is abundant and all-embracing. The grace of God is not afraid of dirty hands, dirty from searching, from carrying lovingly, from opening the drawers that have been closed for ages and are covered in dust. And we do need to recognize the fact that we need such grace. Pharisees and teachers of the law are convinced that they aren't like others, that they are better. They don't need such grace. We belong to the club of those who are hungry for grace, that know of our brokenness, but live in the hope that we will be invited to the table. So let us walk that road that leads to being together, to finding people like ourselves, helping each other in the humility of believing that God is looking for us on that road. Amen. God of the dirtied hands, the wandering feet, you seek the lost before they even turn to you. Take us with you into the abandoned places to find a new community outside the fortress walls, through Jesus Christ, who is the Churching One. Amen. From Rejoice and Sing, we sing this time hymn 619, We Meet You, O Christ, in Many a Guise. This time of the service, we will share what we have been able to set apart for the time of the offering. We receive from your love and your grace, and we share what we can. We ask that the offering that is in the plate, or that we give in different ways, Lord, may multiply and spread and reach the needs of many as a sign that your love in the madness of this world is different. Bless those who have to decide the administration of the offering and our lives in who we are and what we have. And to you be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And let us share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you. Now share a time in our prayers of intercession, our prayers for other people. And let us begin in absolute silence for a while, where you bring before God or bring to your mind those situations, those people that you very specially want to hold in prayer. Let us pray. To you, God, who knows what in silence we bring before you, and hear our prayer, we give it to you. Lord, if we sound contradictory when we come to you, it's not surprising. We live in the tension of so many things happening at once. And often it's overwhelming. They're the small little things of every day that are absolutely wonderful, the small gestures of love, of kindness, of taking time for others, of dropping everything for one. And the joy of integrating the one into the wider community. And we know that that one is multiplied by thousands. Because you have created your kingdom based on an everlasting possibility of inclusion. Instead of walls that are limiting, it seems to be that the rooms you hold us in are ever expanding. There is always room for some more people. And we see kindness. See that people have time for others. People who recognize in the eyes of others when they look at them that there is sadness and will sit with others. When I began walking into Queen's Park, I don't know how many times I'd passed it, but I'd never seen it. At least one bench with a sign on it. It's the chatty bench. And it says, if you sit here, please be ready to say hello or engage in conversation. I found that absolutely wonderful. And now I'm going to start paying attention of who sits there. And that is needed to remind us that we aren't alone. For those that give up their talents and abilities and things that they just think they're everyday things, but the difference it makes to others. We live in a world scarred by hatred and violence and death and destruction, where people are pushed away, further and further away from anything they could call their own. Where even a bag of flour can become a target. The need of doctors and nurses who've gone into their profession to save lives, but by doing so they're putting their lives at risk. By teachers who want to communicate love and are only a collection of information. We live in a world where people go to bed, close their eyes at night in fear and wake up in fear. We live in a world that there are some people who feel that they have the right to be in, whatever in is. And at the same time, there are those who have been excluded and are out. A world where few always know they are right, making massive amount of people's wrong. How can this continue? We've gone through the hottest summer in ages in many parts of the world, and people still laugh that climate change doesn't exist. And it's a small gestures of being aware, of sharing what we can. We know we won't change the world, but we know we can change the world for one person at a time. We don't want to get used to death and destruction and hatred. And through your love, you awaken in us the vision of the kingdom. And then we look around and we see that there are many, many, many people who don't give up, who give of their time, of their talents, even of their lackings, to remind us of what true humanity is. You have made us human beings. It is a gift that we rejoice in. May our light shine, even if everything around us seems darkness. But we know that when you created light, you gave it a name, but you didn't destroy darkness because you gave it a name. And day and night are the sequence and pattern by which we measure time and harvests and new possibilities. Our prayer for you, to you, for those who are ill that we know of, those that are struggling that we know of, those that need help that we know of, and the millions we know nothing of, but are there. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to love. Because that is what your kingdom is about. May the bridges you build triumph over the walls that we have lifted. In the power of Jesus and through the love expressed in the Holy Spirit, May our lives be the lives you want for us. Amen. We will be celebrating communion in a few moments, and we prepare to celebrate communion singing from Rejoice and Sing, hymn 452. Let us break bread together. The table is set, and we know that something will happen. And we aren't onlookers to see what is happening. We are part of it. This table does not belong to any church, any denomination, any person, any community in particular. This is the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you think of his ministry, it was at a table that he met people, that he heard their stories and shared his stories. And most often, he was criticized for that. It was at the table that he deepened his friendship with the poor and even the prostitutes, with the business class and the puzzled bystanders. It was a table that he shared the profound insights into who God is and what God wants. It is round the table that suddenly it all became close by and accessible. It was at a table with bread and a cup that he initiated the sacrament that we now call communion. So come to this table. Leave behind any baggage of fears, regrets, or unworthiness. Do not think this is not for me. Think, rather, remember what Jesus said. I am with you. And accept the invitation to be the friend he cherishes and longs to feed. Long before this building was erected, long before any of the buildings we know existed, in open spaces, in hard places, people heard of how on the night of his arrest and aware of what lay before him, Jesus sat at supper with his friends. During the meal, Jesus took a piece of bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he said to the disciples, "This is my body given for you." And later on in the meal, they shared the cup. And he said to them, "In this cup, we find the new relationship that God has made possible because of my death. Drink from it, all of you." He said he would not drink of the cup again until he did so in the coming kingdom of God. But whatever you take from this today or any day, remember those end of sentences, "Given for you, all of you, drink from it." There are no conditions, no secondary clauses, no ifs. So we take the bread and the cup and we offer them to God that he may bless them, so that through them the goodness of God may bless, enrich, and enlighten us. And having done that in us, we may carry it wherever we go and be a sign of the upsetting values of the kingdom. Upsetting not because they hurt, because they upset the standards that the world wants to impose on us. Let us pray. Loving God, the table was set when we arrived, and the simple elements of bread that is cut and the cup that is served for us to take. And you invite us. And it is that invitation that makes us worthy to be here. May we eat and drink in the confidence of your love. Because this is what Jesus invited us to do. Amen. As we always do, receive the bread and then the cup. Hold until all have received, so that we may be able to eat and drink together. Thank you. This bread, broken as it is, reminds us of the brokenness of the body of Jesus, broken to make us whole. Let us eat, all of us, in memory of him. When they'd finished eating the meal, he took the cup, and they shared the cup. And he said the cup represented the new relationship, something that was different from anything before. And he invited them and all who came after them, even us today, to do this and drink in memory of him. The cup that was shed for the forgiveness of sins. Let us drink all of it, all of you. Dear Jesus, you taught us that in calling God our Father, we all became sisters and brothers, with you and with each other. Today we have been guests at this, your table. And we ask you, come with us wherever we go and be present in all that we share. Bring out in us those of us who you have fed, generosity of spirit to ensure that all the hungry are nourished, all the sick may find healing, and the earth's barren places be fertile with food, with faith, with hope, with justice and love. Amen. We close our service from Sing Praise, singing together hymn 267, Christ Triumphant, Ever Reigning, Saviour, Master, King. Just looked at my watch. It's the lack of practice. Apologies for the extra minutes that you... Okay, I was off ill. Forgive me. I'll do my best next week because we have church meetings. So we come, we share, but probably the most important thing is we leave. We can't stay here. We go to where we have to go to meet the people that are there and share what we have learned and how we've been transformed. In that journey, in that walking, Jesus walks with us. So the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you, those you love, with those we find so difficult to love, and with the people of God everywhere, now and forevermore. Amen.